إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله عز وخير الحدي حدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدع، وكل بدعة دلالة، وكل دلالة في النار. وبعد، we begin as always by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is all deserving of all praise. We seek His aid and we seek His forgiveness. Whomsoever Allah guides, there is none to mislead him. Whoever is misled, none can guide him except Allah. And we seek refuge with Allah from the evil of our own selves and the evil of our own actions. I testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And I testify that Muhammad is his slave and his messenger. After that, the best speech is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of all the matters are the newly invented matters which people have brought into the religion as an aspect of religion. And every newly invented matter is a bidah in an innovation, and all innovation leads to the hellfire. Amma ba'd. We welcome the dear brothers and sisters today on the 4th of Jumad al-Awwal, Jumad al-Ula, in the year 1442 Al-Hijra, corresponding to the 19th of December in the year 2020, in which is our first lesson, beginning with a study of a very famous book, a very famous compilation, an amazing piece of work, looking at the explanation of that, the book Arba'in Nawawiyya Rahimahullah, by Imam Nawawi Rahimahullah Ta'ala. The book is called Al-Arba'in Nawawiyya, 40 Hadith of Imam Nawawi, by the great Imam, scholar, Al-Imam Nawawi Rahimahullah, who died in the year 676 Al-Hijra, 676 Al-Hijra. We are coming together to hopefully benefit from the speech of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Since in studying the hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there is a great reward, just like as a reward in reading Quran. Our Shaykh Ibn Baz rahimahullah ta'ala said, he said, there is a great reward for reading the noble Quran in terms of coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said, as is reading and memorizing the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, as is reading and memorizing the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because, as we know, that the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are also revelation. The hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are also revelation. It was revelation which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Shaykh said, there's a great reward for reading the noble Quran in terms of coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as is reading and memorizing the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, and this is because it is worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in pursuit of acquiring knowledge and a greater understanding of the religion. This is why we're coming together to try to learn and study about our religion and about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, evidence in the Sharia indicates that seeking knowledge and gaining an understanding of the religion is wajib, is obligatory, in order for the slave to worship his Lord upon firm knowledge, upon basira. It's wajib to know and seek knowledge, as we know from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, talab al-ilm fridatan ala kulli muslimin. Seeking knowledge is an obligation on every Muslim. So the evidence, the Shaykh says, in the Sharia indicates that seeking knowledge and gaining an understanding of the religion is obligatory in order for the slave to worship his Lord upon firm knowledge of basira. An example of this evidence is the saying of the Prophet ﷺ, whoever Allah wills good for, He grants them the understanding of the deen, the religion. And the Prophet ﷺ said, the best of you are those who learn the Quran and teach it. And in another hadith, which is a beautiful hadith, like all the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever treads a path seeking knowledge on that path, then Allah makes the path to paradise easy for him. Whoever treads a path seeking knowledge on that path, whoever treads a path seeking knowledge on that path, then Allah makes the path to paradise easy for him due to his seeking knowledge. That was the reason why he went on this path. That's why he started practicing Islam. That's why he started worship, because he wanted to seek knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet said, and no group of people gather in one of the houses of Allah, reciting the book of Allah and studying it, except tranquility descends and they are covered with mercy, and the angels surround them, and Allah mentions them to those who are close to Him. This is the great reward and the great blessing of studying the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That tranquility descends upon them. And they are covered with Allah's mercy, and the angels surround them. So studying the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is a great honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a great honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And alhamdulillah, Allah has blessed us that we can get together and look at these hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're looking at the introduction from the explanation by Sheikh Abdul Mohsin Al-Abbad, hafizahullah ta'ala. Sheikh Abdul Mohsin Al-Abbad is a great scholar in Medina and teaches in the Prophet's Masjid, and he is of coming up close to 90 years of age, and he's still teaching in the Prophet's Masjid. He is a mountain of knowledge, especially in the knowledge of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ and the narrators of the hadith and narrations. So in his explanation of this great book, Arba'in Nawawiyah, he said, and these 40 hadith are great hadith. They are from the Jawami al-Kalim of the Messenger al-Kareem. وَهِيَ مِنْ جَوَامِ الْكَلِمِ جَوَامِ الْكَلِمِ رَسُولِ الْكَرِيمِ عَلَيْهِ أَفْضَلَ الصَّلَاةُ وَتَمَّ تَسْلِيمِ. They are from the Jawami al-Kalim. Jawami al-Kalim is the eloquent speech which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to speak with. This was a miracle of Allah to the Prophet ﷺ, that he would say a few statements and they would have a very deep in meaning. It's called Jawami al-Kalim. Jawami al-Kalim. Jawami al-Kalim. Jawami al-Kalim is Jawami al-Kalim is eloquent speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this was a miracle. And we can see even till today that when scholars, when they teach the 40 hadith, or when they teach the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, There are great meanings which they extract from these hadith. Even till today, our scholars extract meanings from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wished to say a little bit of speech, but it would be vast in meaning and weight. And they are, these hadith are qawaid al-kulliyya. Qawaid al-kulliyya. Qawaid kulliyya means that they are principles, complete comprehensive principles. So Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, when he compiled this book of 40 hadith, he took into consideration all the different books of hadith that were written, okay, because he died in 676, rahimahullah, and he actually mentions in his introduction of Arba'in Nawawiyyah, he also has an explanation, a very brief explanation of Arba'in Nawawiyyah. A very brief explanation of Arba'in Nawawiyyah, but in his compilation, in his introduction, he mentions this point. He begins by talking about mentioning some weak hadith. He mentions some weak hadith, which he says that the scholars of hadith, the Huffaz, they agreed upon these weak hadith, which were hadith that talk about benefits of 40 hadith, collections of 40 hadith, and these type of things. But he himself acknowledges, but you know, he says that there are many like this. So Imam Nawawi rahimullah himself, he said, I wanted to take part in this great, you know, revolution or movement or khair of spreading the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he mentions that the first of those who he found that wrote a book on 40 hadith, because in those days they used to write 40 hadith on, say for example, prayer, 40 hadith about a certain subject, yeah, of the deen. And from the early ones was, for example, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, like Imam Nawawi rahimahullah mentions. Abdullah ibn Mubarak was one of the great, great scholars of hadith, and from the teachers of Imam Bukhari, and one of the great imams. Likewise, Abu Bakr al-Ajurri, and Abu Bakr al-Asfahani, wa Darqutni, wa Hakim, and many of the scholars of hadith, they collected compilations where they put together 40 hadith. And that's why he himself wanted to compile this book of hadith. And he mentions some of the reward of this, like how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts delight on a person who hears the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and memorizes it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts delight for the person who hears my statement. The Prophet said, نَدَّرَ اللَّهِ إِمْرَانِ سَمِيَ مَقَالَتِي فَوَعَاهَا فَأَدَاهَا كَمَا سَمِيَهَا. May Allah, or is it like a dua, that Allah enlightens the face or brightens the face of the one who hears my hadith, and he memorizes it and holds it, and he conveys it as he heard it. Yeah, it's a very famous hadith, and this is a hadith which is a bushra for the people of Sunnah and Salafiyya and Hadith. The people of Hadith and Salafiyya, this is a bushra, this is glad tidings for us. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we have love for the hadith, we have love for the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we have love for the hadith, and we implement the hadith according to the way of the Salaf. So we have a bushra, good glad tidings, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brightens, enlightens the person, puts delight in the heart of the person who hears his statement, who hears his statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he understands it and puts it in his heart, and these type of matters. So these hadith which he collected are qawaid kulliya, comprehensive hadith, comprehensive principles. each hadith that he wrote in his book, collected in his book, from the various books of hadith, okay, core fundamental principles of the religion. Okay, core fundamental principles of the religion, and they were comprehensive. And that's what Imam Nawawi rahimullah chose to write in his book. He didn't choose it in any order. There was no order in the way he wrote Arba'in al-Nawawiyah. It's not like, oh, let's deal with this issue first or that issue first. But he began with the hadith, which is the first hadith in the Malu bin Niyat, that indeed actions are but by intention. Actions are but by intentions. And this was, we'll go into that later. Our Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Mohsin Abad, he says, there's nothing established from the Prophet in anything regarding memorizing 40 hadith. Yeah, there's nothing like that. And what has been mentioned is weak hadith, like him, Imam Nawawi rahimullah, he mentioned himself regarding this. And the Shaykh says that that gathering something from the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and being busy with that and bringing attention to that is a good thing, which is not rely upon weak hadith. It's not rely upon that. We know that from authentic hadith that, you know, this is something that you know, which we do, something that which we do. He goes on to say, he says, Imam Nawawi was well known for zuhud and wara' was salah. Yani he was well known for having a simple life, righteous, rectification. And he was one of those scholars that was, he had hirs, he had concern to benefit the people and for enjoining the good and forbidding the evil. And and this book became very, very well known and very famous amongst all the other different books, yeah, all the many books. But this book became famous because of its relying upon 40 hadith. 40 hadith. The Sheikh says, Sheikh Abdul Mohsin, he says, however, this book contains 42 hadith. 42 hadith, okay, Imam Nawawi rahimullah collected 42 hadith in this. And the reason for that is because the Arabs of old, and the Arabs just generally, they would round things up to the nearest number. They would round things up to the largest number. So it's 42 hadith in essence, but they used to call it 40 hadith. They used to round it up to that. There are many explanations of Arba'in al-Nawawiyah, and that shows the great importance the scholars paid to this book. The great importance the scholars paid to this book of Arba'in al-Nawawiyah. They paid great importance to it. So many scholars, they did explanations of this book. They did explanations of Arba'in al-Nawawiyah. From the most famous and the most comprehensive explanations is the explanation of Ibn Rajab rahimullah. Ibn Rajab. And Ibn Rajab, Hafidh Ibn Rajab, was one of the students of Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Qayyim rahimullah, and he studied under Ibn Kathir. So it shows his caliber. His caliber was very, very high. And he, what he did in his book, and his book was called Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam, Jami' al-Ulum wal-Hikam, yeah, fi sharh 50 hadith min Jawami' al-Kalim. So his book, he actually, what he did was added some extra hadith and brought it up to 50 hadith. He brought it up to 50 hadith. But the book by Imam Nawawi is made up of 42 hadith, 42 hadith. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah was well known for compiling books of hadith, and he was very skilled at that. So we have Arba'in an-Nawawi, which is, a person can say, it's a small book. But when, as we're going through and studying this book, you'll realize and see how great the level of his caliber was and the great benefit we get from this book. Also, likewise, a very famous book for Imam Nawawi rahimahullah is Riyad al-Salihin. The book Riyad al-Salihin. And this is a book which is well known by everybody. Yeah, even the people on Sunnah and the people not on Sunnah, they all attach themselves to this book, Riyad al-Salihin. And this is a book that we encourage the brothers and sisters to study, Riyad al-Salihin, because this book, Riyad al-Salihin, is a very important book because it is a character-building book. It is a character-building book. And we advise the Salafis, we advise the Muslims to read this book, Riyad al-Salihin. This book is a has been compiled into subject matter, so talks about intention, sincerity, and trust in Allah, and different sections. And in that, Imam Nawawi rahimullah, he compiled the chapter heading and then the ayat for that subject, and then a few hadith, and then he moves on. But this book is a character building book and very, very important for us to read and to study. Some of the other books that that are not so well known, for example, Al-Majmu' Ash-Sharh Al-Muhadhab, and this is a explanation of the Shafi Madhab, because Imam Nawawi rahimullah was of the Shafi Madhab, which is a very strong madhab, but for the people of Sunnah, we adhere and attach ourselves to the hadith and the sayings of the Salaf. Nimvo, there's a whole study about whether a person can study a madhab, and that's a different matter altogether. Another famous book which was written by Imam, compiled by Imam Nawawi, Al-Adhkar, about the Adhkar of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this shows us some of the caliber and the level of Imam Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala. One other point we would like to discuss about Imam Nawawi rahimahullah is that what our Shaykh Uthaymeen mentions and explains, because our scholars, our Salafi scholars, the scholars who adhered themselves to the way of the path, way of the Prophet and his companions, and the Tabi'een and the Imams of the Salaf, they are very truthful, and I'm using the word very, are truthful, but are very truthful in conveying the Sunnah and conveying the truth. Well, the reason why I say this is because the Ahlul Sunnah, as the Salaf have mentioned, we speak that which is for us and that which is against us as well. We speak the truth, meaning that if we make a mistake, we openly repent and we openly explain. We explain why we went wrong and things like that. So a mistake is a mistake. And the haqq is the haqq. Yeah? The truth is the truth. Yes, we teach and educate the people in a nice way using wisdom, but when it comes to the truth, we adhere to it, we stick to it, we affirm to it, okay? And if we make a mistake or we do something wrong, then we open about it. So Ahlul Sunnah say that which is for them and that which is against them, okay? So here, Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimullah explained about how Imam Nawawi rahimullah fell into mistakes. And he explained how this is, yani every mujtahid, everyone that makes a hukum or a ruling, can either be right or can be wrong in their ruling, can be mistaken in their ruling. Every مجتهد قد يخطي أو يصيب. يعني can be wrong sometimes and right sometimes. So here he was talking about how Imam Nawawi rahimullah made ta'wil of certain sifat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not all of them, but some of them. Okay, some of them. But he did not reject them. Imam Nawawi rahimullah didn't reject them. The reason why we're mentioning this point is because there is a sect of people who believe that scholars like Imam Nawawi, Ibn Hajar, and these type of scholars, or if a scholar, or any scholar really, if they make a mistake, that's it, they're out of Islam, and they're from the Ahlul Bidah, they're from the people of innovations, and these people are called the Haddadiyya, yeah? The Haddadiyya, and they are very, very harsh, very, very severe, very hard-hearted. They use no wisdom whatsoever. And anybody that makes a mistake, that's it. You know, you're from Ahlul Bidah. Just like the Khawarij, the extremist terrorists, they say, if you commit a sin, any sin whatsoever, you're a kafir. Okay, you're a kafir. Likewise, the Haddadiyya, they used to say, anybody who makes a mistake or anything like this, then he is from the Ahlul Bidah. So they said that Imam Nawawi rahimullah is from the Ahlul Bidah. And this is a grave mistake. Because our scholars, the scholars of the Sunnah, have explained that Ibn Hajar, Imam Nawawi, their asas, their foundation was Kitab wa Sunnah Manhaj Salaf. They made a mistake and fell into this, what some of the Asha'ira fell into, because of the environments they were in. The environments, that the knowledge-based environments that they were in, had these mistakes. But they didn't adhere to these mistakes. They didn't, they didn't take that as a manhaj. Ibn Hajar, Imam Nawawi, didn't take making ta'wil of sifat as a manhaj, as a methodology for their aqidah. Rather, the methodology was Kitab or Sunnah, one way of the Salaf, but they fell into mistakes. And that's why the Ibn Hajar and Imam Nawawi are regarded as great scholars. Their books are still can still be used, their books and their works, and the mistakes they have made have been explained by the ulama. They've been explained by the ulama. They explain why they fell into this, why they fell into that. And it's not a lot. It's not so much so that they became from the Asha'ira. They became from the deviant sects. No. Okay, so that's one point we need to understand and comprehend, because otherwise, if we don't distinguish between being balanced and being upon the truth from what our scholars have taught us, yeah, Sheikh Uthaymeen, Sheikh Al-Albani, Sheikh Bin Baz, Sheikh Rabia, Sheikh Ubaid Al-Jabri, our scholars, Sheikh Abdul Mohsin Abbad, and all the other our Salafi scholars, what they've taught us about this situation, yeah, and as Imam Shawkani rahimullah mentioned about Ibn Hajar, okay, he said La Hijra Ba'd al-Fath, that, you know, he wrote a very famous book called Fath al-Bari. There's no Hijra after Fath, and this is based upon a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that after the victory in Mecca, he said there was no need to do Hijra to Medina. You know, so in the same vein, the scholars say that La Hijra Ba'd al-Fath, Imam Shawkani said that about Ibn Hajar, in the sense that his book was so great that you don't need to write another book like that. Even though, yani, it's possible to do so, you don't need to, because of the great value of his book, the great benefit from his book. So Imam Nawawi rahimullah was regarded as a great scholar. great scholar, and he died in 676, 676 Al-Hijrah. Inshallah, we'll begin with the first hadith in Arba'in an-Nawawiyyah, and this explanation will be from various books. We're not sticking to one book. We're going to look at a few different books, and a lot of these benefits, inshallah, you'll find have not been translated and not available, okay, as in a printed format, okay, on books and things like that. So the first hadith that he brought was the hadith, actions are by intentions, from the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Abu Hafs, Umar ibn al-Khattab, who said, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول saying, he heard the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم saying, إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى فمن كانت هجرته إلى الله ورسوله فهجرته إلى الله ورسوله ومن كانت هجرته إلى الدنيا يصيبها أو امرأة يتزوجها أو ينكحها فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. This hadith is a fundamental hadith of the Sunnah and Tawheed. The Prophet ﷺ said, actions are but by intentions, and every man shall have that which he intended. Thus, he whose migration was for Allah and His Messenger, then his migration was indeed for Allah and His Messenger. And he whose migration was to achieve some worldly benefit or to take some woman in marriage, then his migration was for that which he migrated. And this is a hadith collected by Bukhari and Muslim. This is a very important hadith because this hadith tells us about the very important foundation of having intention before we do an action. First thing is that we look at different wordings of the hadith. Different wordings of this hadith. Sheikh Saleh al-Sheikh Hafidhullah Ta'ala, and you'll find that we'll mention many names of scholars and many names, and it's very important for us to get familiar with these names because these are the people who are teaching and spreading the Sunnah. Sheikh Saleh al-Sheikh Hafidhullah is one of the great scholars here in Saudi Arabia. He said, as for the saying of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, indeed actions are but by intentions, then also what has been narrated in Sahih Bukhari is the singular wording, an action is by an intention. Okay, the hadith that we're looking at is actions by intentions, but it has also been recorded in Sahih Bukhari by an action is by an intention. It has been narrated, indeed actions are by an intention. You need the plural and the singular. Actions are by an intention. Collected by Bukhari and Muslim. So the wordings are different, but the meaning is the same. And this is one of the skills that our scholars of hadith have, where they gather the wordings of the hadith, all the different wordings, to give a clearer understanding of the hadith. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ could have said it in more than one occasion. That's why there's different wording. The Prophet ﷺ was probably asked maybe that, you know, about this, and he mentioned it in a different wording. All of these are revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a stronger understanding of this aspect. The thing we want to look at next is the importance and status of this hadith. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah said, Abu Abdullah al-Bukhari said, there is not from the statements of the Prophet anything more comprehensive, richer and more beneficial than this hadith. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. If you look at that statement of Imam Bukhari, yeah, he said, there is not from the statements of the Prophet ﷺ anything more comprehensive, richer and more beneficial than this hadith. Why? Because before we carry out an action, we have to have an intention for that action. And that intention is that we're doing it solely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're doing it purely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not doing it for the praise of the people. When we do an action, any good action that we do it for the sake of Allah. Ikhlas and niyyah, yani sincere intention. That it's only for Allah. It's not for that people praise me. It's not some worldly gain of getting some money and some wealth. It's not to get status and position. Rather, it's for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there's nothing from the statements of the which is more comprehensive, richer, and more beneficial than this hadith. Because if a person understands this hadith, he will make sure that every action that he does it for Allah's sake. He eats food, he eats it for Allah's sake. He goes to sleep, he sleeps for Allah's sake. He goes for a walk to strengthen his body so he can worship Allah, does it for Allah's sake. Gets married for Allah's sake. He loves his parents, his mother, his father, his family, his relatives, his wife, his kids, for Allah's sake. So he knows that he gets a reward for that. Because actions are but by intentions. Sheikh Saleh al-Sheikh said, this hadith is a foundation from the principles of the deen. This hadith is a foundation from the principles of the deen. And Imam Ahmad had said that Islam revolves around three hadith. Imam Ahmad said that these three hadith explain the principles of the deen. The first one, hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu, that indeed actions are by intentions. إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. The second, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, which is also in Arba'in Nawawiyah. مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا هَذَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. Whoever introduces a matter in our affair, Islam, which is not from it, then it will be rejected. And the third one is also, which is in Arba'in Nawawiyah, إِنَّ حَلَالَ بَيِّنُ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنُ. It's something that we're going to study later. The hadith of Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhu, indeed the halal is clear and the haram is clear. The scholars mentioned different hadith for this, different hadith which have the foundations of the religion. But this one statement of Imam Ahmad rahimullah was a more comprehensive, and he compiled those three, mentioned those three hadith, that Islam revolves around those three hadith. Why? Because the intention, firstly, and actions are from Iman, and they are based upon Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sincerity to Allah. Secondly, following the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, that not to do bidah. Thirdly, following the Prophet ﷺ and in that which is halal, and keeping away from that which the Prophet ﷺ made haram. The last statement for today is the statement of Ibn Jama'ah. He said, Bukhari began his hadith with sincere intention, and he ended it with tasbih. He began his book, Sahih al-Bukhari, this famous collection of hadith, it begins with the hadith, innama al-a'malu bi-niyyat, that indeed actions are but by intentions. And he ended it with tasbih. The last hadith that he put, kalimatani khafifatani ala lisani habibatani rahmani subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. This hadith, that there's two words which are heavy on the scales and light on the tongue, and subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. So Imam Bukhari began with sincere intention and he ended it with tasbih, which is an expiation for what comes in between, i.e. his book in Sahih. And this statement of Ibn Jama'ah is so powerful and strong that you have to begin your action sincerely, with the intention sincerely for Allah, and hoping for a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the actions are a part of Iman. And that's why the last hadith he put in there was about saying tasbih, saying subhanallah. So intention and action. Tawheed and action. Sincerity and action. With that, we come to the end of today's lesson. May Allah reward the dear brothers and sisters for organizing these lessons and broadcasting them. Jazakum Allahu khairun for listening. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.